Blocking and tackling. Slam dunk. Home run. There's no I in the spelling of team. Are sports analogies even truly applicable? Michael Jordan is famous for saying, "Sure, there's no I in team, but there is in win." And Larry Bird, in a team huddle before making one of his many last-second winning shots, told his teammates to give him the ball and get out of the way. So what makes Mike Robbins different? In the 90s, he embarked on a career as a pitcher for the Kansas City Royals. While he was in the minors, he blew out his arm and in one of the most disappointing moments he ever faced, walked away from baseball. But while he played, he noticed something. Something beyond a sports cliche. In fact, a phenomenon he's been studying ever since and has become a big part of his job.
I was on some teams where we had really good talent, but the team wasn't very good. Which didn't make any sense to me, because in something like sports, you figure if you have the best athletes, you should have the best team, right? That's not always the case. Because I was on some other teams sometimes where, you know, the talent was decent, not great, and the team was fantastic. We would, like, beat other teams that had better players than us, which also didn't make sense.
Instead of simply calling it chemistry and using it as just another superficial sports analogy, Robbins wanted to know what that chemistry actually is. He realized it's not a sports thing, it's a human thing.
In business, we call it culture. It's similarly hard to define. We use lots of fancy words to try to define it, but it's intangible. It's that quality that either brings us together or not. It's those things that have the team either really perform and succeed or not, and they're not usually as practical or tactical or technical as we think.
His fascination with team dynamics only grew in his first years working for companies. What is it that creates the culture and chemistry of teams? Is it random, or can it be created? It became the cornerstone of his research and consulting about human relations.
There was a lot of, and now especially almost 20 years later, there is a ton of data and research out there about what this means and how we drive this.
One of Robbins' most significant observations is when teams, even with rock star employees and a rock star product, don't perform so well. And sometimes they dismiss the need for better soft skills like trust, follow-through, and communication. A starting point for talking about this is establishing the idea that there is a difference between your role and your job.
Now, what do I mean by that? When I ask people about their job, they usually tell me about their role, what they do, their title, the thing that's on their business card or in their email signature, on their LinkedIn profile. And look, we're proud of our roles, as we should be. All of you in here should be proud of the role that you have. There's nothing wrong with being proud of your role and wanting to do it well. However, your role is what you do. Your job, and high-performing teams really get this, everyone has the same job. Your job is to help the team win. That's your job.
The confusion starts with our ego and some very well-meaning desires. We want to do well and be recognized. We have ambitions and great ideas.
But when we put our role above our job, now we have a problem. Because then I'm more interested in me and mine. And even leaders, senior leaders, who get really, really passionate about the work that they do and their team, oftentimes, sitting at the table with an executive team, I will notice, wow, this is a team of leaders. It's not an actual leadership team. Because everybody's interested in what's my team, my organization, meaning I'm doing my role well, as are my people. We get very territorial. There can be some health in that. There can be some, I got my people's back, I'm advocating for them. However, the problem is we're moving in different directions. And that's a mindset shift. Now, it's a trust thing. We have to trust each other.
Robbins points out that soft skills, like building trust, are actually hard. His research shows that one thing high-performing teams have is authenticity. It can be a bit elusive as to what that actually is. Transparency, believability, honesty. In his view, for the purposes of building better teams, they're not quite on the mark.
Honest is good, yes. My mother used to say this all the time, honesty is the best policy. Honesty, she's right. Honesty is definitely the best policy, although how many of you have learned over the course of your life, particularly your professional life, sometimes when you're honest, it can cause a problem. Yeah, not everybody likes your honesty. Not everybody agrees with your honesty. Not everybody's interested in your honesty. With good intention, as leaders, we've all tried to coach someone and just be honest. I'm just going to give you some honest feedback. And instead of empowering you, I disempowered you. You don't like me. You don't trust me. You're defensive with me. It's like, well, I was just trying to be honest. Where there's real freedom and power is on the other side of honesty. That's where we get to authenticity. But in order to get to authenticity, we have to remove something from our honesty and we have to add something to our honesty. This is what we call the authenticity equation. The thing we have to remove is our self-righteousness. And the thing we have to add is vulnerability. Let me talk about both of those things briefly, because they're pretty straightforward, but it's important to underscore self-righteousness. What do I mean by that? How many of you, like me, have a lot of opinions? And the issue is when we're being self-righteous about an opinion, what that means is I'm right, and if you don't agree with me, what does that make you? Wrong. Now we have a problem. The natural human response to self-righteousness is defensiveness. Now, I'm not saying don't speak up. I'm not saying don't give people feedback. Not at all. What I am saying is know the difference between self-righteousness, which is I'm right, you're wrong, separation, disconnection, and conviction, which means I believe this to be true, I'm willing to talk about it, I'm willing to engage. However, I have enough humility and enough self-awareness to realize a couple things. First of all, I might be wrong. Have you ever been convinced you were right about something only to realize upon further reflection you were actually wrong? We've somehow decided that admitting that we're wrong or we made a mistake or we're changing our mind is weak. It's not. So can we remove our self-righteousness? And then the thing we have to add is vulnerability.
Researchers have identified vulnerability as a good character quality of members of high-performing teams. And you can be vulnerable in a group that offers psychological safety, where at your job, you're safe to make a mistake, to disagree, to take a risk, to ask for help, to just be yourself.
The more willing we are to operate this way, the more free and liberated we are, and the more we model that for the people around us. Do the people on your team really know you, like the real you? You don't have to necessarily share all kinds of intimate personal details about yourself, although you can, but do they know what makes you tick? Do they know what your values are? Teams that spend their time performing for each other can't spend their time actually performing. If I'm trying to impress you all the time, and what happens for leaders, and even really senior leaders, and even really smart, talented people, you get into a really senior role and spend and waste so much time and energy in what we call the imposter syndrome, thinking, oh man, how did I get this job? They're gonna really know I don't know what I'm doing, which is a normal phenomenon for most human beings. It's exhausting to operate this way.
The other major attribute of high-performing teams that Robin cites is appreciation. And while he admits that recognition can be a form of it, it's just a small part of what appreciation is. Recognition is about results. Appreciation is about who you are and your value, regardless of whether the team is winning. And for this, we turn to a sports analogy.
Now, whether you're a baseball fan or not, how many of you know what happens to the pitcher, which is the position that I played in the baseball game when the pitcher does not do well? Do you know what happens? They stop the game. And the manager literally walks out to the middle of the field, physically removes the ball from your hand, and makes you leave. Can you imagine if you were at work next week, in the middle of working hard, and you made a mistake, like kind of a big one, and whoever it is you report to burst onto the scene and says, stop right there, and you had to stop in the middle of what you were doing and walk out, and some other person came in and sat down in your chair and started doing your job for you?
Of course, Robin's example is extreme. But it makes the point about an organization functioning on the basis of its team members individually striving to be rock stars while terrified of making a mistake. That's the kind of company Robbins alluded to earlier. They have top talent, a great product, but performance as a team, not so great. The company that encourages true appreciation, even when the team isn't winning, is one that has a foundation for success. It's another so-called soft skill that drives high-performing teams. Mike Robbins spoke at the Leadership Experience held at the Nutanix 2019 Next Conference.